was doing an interview with Laura Lippman yesterday. You probably know who that is if you're a readery sort. She's a very well-respected and prolific crime writer who regularly spends time on the New York Times bestseller list. I'm a huge fan. If you haven't read her before, my favorite of her novels is probably I'd Know You Anywhere. It's about a middle-aged woman who takes a road trip to see the man who kidnapped her when she was 15. He's now on death row for murdering another girl that the two of them met while she was in his custody. And it's about complicitness and Stockholm syndrome, and also about memory and the death penalty. Very smart, unsettling fiction. I'm doing a lot of interviews right now as I prepare for the publication of The Opposite of Everyone. This one with Laura Lippman was for Amazon's big book blog. It's called Omnivoracious. I just like that word. Like omnivore, you'll eat anything. Voracious, with relish by the double fistfuls. Omnivoracious. I'm an omnivoracious reader. They asked Lippman to interview me because this book, Opposite, has some elements of noir and even classic detective fiction. The narrator is a hard-edged, mixed-race divorce lawyer named Paula Voss. She grew up close to homeless with an itinerant storyteller for a mother. At a very young age, Paula tells a story of her own that lands her mother in prison and puts her in the foster care system. When the book begins, she's an adult right here in the ATL, and her only communication with her mother is via a monthly check she sends. That check gets returned at the start of the book with a cryptic note, and Paula realizes she might not be an only child. So, along with the court case that Paula's working on, there's a mystery as she unravels her own past, and that's why they got Lippman to interview me. But at its heart, I think this book is a story about story. When Paula was small, her mother would basically reinvent them every year or so as she changed boyfriends and cities. Her mother, Kai, comes from that lost part of Generation X, the ones who read the Tao of Pooh once and decided they had a complete understanding of Eastern philosophy. I am embarrassed to tell you, I marched among them myself as a young woman, right after I failed spectacularly out of college, the lost years. When you're young enough to kind of say, cultural appropriation, smultural appropriation. So she retells these stories from epic poetry, the Ramayana, and Paula's original name was Kali, and those images and ideas from those stories define her throughout the book. So while I'm talking to Laura Lippman about this, she asked me a really interesting question. She said, this is a story about folklore and mythology, but also about how stories can save or change or define our lives. Why are stories so darn important? Or are they only important to storytellers such as us? Well, I think they're important to humans. Story is how we explain the world to ourselves. And that's true on the most basic level. Every culture has its origin story, how the world was made, why the moon has phases. We use story to create meanings and see patterns. And I'm a person of faith, so I believe there is a pattern, very large, beyond what my pattern-hungry brain can see, so large that only faith or math can tell us that it's probably there. Maybe. We hope. It's possible, though, that our human need for story has a very pragmatic origin, that we've evolved into stories. Dr. Michael Shermer, in an article in Scientific American, calls the human brain pattern recognition machines that connect the dots and create meaning out of the patterns that we think we see in nature. Sometimes A really is connected to B, sometimes it is not. When it is, we have learned something valuable about the environment from which we can make predictions that aid in survival and reproduction. We are the ancestors of those most successful at finding patterns. This process is called association learning, and it is fundamental to all animal behavior from the humble worm C. elegans to H. sapiens. I think we also see patterns in the events that shape our lives, and we craft them into the stories that define us. Be honest. You have a couple of stories that you trot out for new people, don't you? The ones that tell the new people who you are, your watershed stories, the ones you share with the folks you want to really know you. Those stories probably aren't even 100% true. Psychologist Claudia Hammond argues in Wired that memory is essentially a reconstructive process. When we want to re-experience an event, we don't summon up a tape from the library. We alter memories as we lay them down in order to make sense of them. We reconstruct them when we recall an event and even change them again if new information comes to light. This is why eyewitness testimony is the least valued in the pantheon of evidence. We misremember things. We remember things differently from other people who were standing right there beside us when the thing happened. I think we retell our own stories to ourselves and reframe them in ways that speak to the themes that drive our lives. Of course, I told Laura Lippman, of course, story matters to everyone. We're all writing one for ourselves to live in every minute. So you may recall, I invited you to my launch party at the Decatur Library on February 18th at 7 p.m. We'll be celebrating the publication of The Opposite of Everyone with tastes from Alabama and India. But if you can't make it, I'm going to be all over the ATL this month as part of my tour for The Opposite of Everyone. If you live in Roswell, on the evening of February 23rd, I will be at the Book Miser. They have two locations, so you want to go to the one in Roswell, not the one in Marietta, on Roswell Road. Thanks, Atlanta. All I need now is to book something on a Peachtree Street. On March 8th, if you live near Woodstock, I'll be at Foxtail Bookshop at 6:30. And on March 9th at 1 p.m., I'm going to drive out to the Jefferson County Library at 1 in the afternoon. I hope I see you there. For WABE, I'm Jocelyn Jackson.